Gentlemen, start your engines!
We're here live at the greatest spectacle in racing. Over a million racing fans are here on this beautiful sunny day. We're going through the pace lap now. They're coming around the fourth turn. The parade lap's almost over. They're coming down the home stretch. The pace car is pulling into the pits. There's the green flag and...
Oh, 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 oh.
Riders Radio Theater is on the air.
Radio, it's the Riders on the radio. Come on, partner, saddle up and go. Get ready for the cowboy show. Yo-lay-yo-lay-yay. We've been working since the break of day. We've been doing it the cowboy way. Now it's time to play. We're gonna ride and rope and wrangle a tune. We're gonna hoot and holler and howl at the moon.
Oh, oh, oh.
Partners, it's time to saddle up and ride the airwaves once again with America's favorite cowboys, Riders in the Sky. Two Slim, the man of many hats, Woody Paul, the king of the cowboy fiddlers, and Ranger Doug, the idol of American youth. This is Texas Big Spender inviting you to join Riders in the Sky for a thrilling program of high yodeling adventure.
We're gonna ride and rope and wrangle a tune. We're gonna hoot and holler and howl at the moon.
Oh, oh, oh.
Every buckaret and buckaroo, there's a place around the fire for you, with Riders in the Sky. So come on and let's ride.
And now with the 2,317th performance of the roller coaster ride to international megastardom, here are Riders in the Sky.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, buckaroos and buckarettes. And thank you, Texas Bix Bender, father of the modern baby chick industry. Welcome to an humble radio program. Please direct your attention to the hardworking cowboys, Too Slim.
That would be me.
Woody Paul.
Howdy, y'all.
And me, Ranger Doug, idol of American youth. And of course, our orchestra, conducted so convincingly by Joey, the cow polka king. That's us. Well, let's start with a song, and this is a song we've been working on all afternoon because for the last 3 years, Texas Bix Bender has been begging us to do one of our original tunes, The Prairie Serenade, and we finally got the courage to work it up. Night winds a-tremble with a song of love, wild things assemble neath the moonlit sky above to sing a prairie serenade, heaven sent and heaven made. As I lie neath the blanket of stars.
Prairie serenade.
It's the song of a child. It's the call of the wild.
Prairie serenade.
It's a longhorn's bawl. It's the coyote's call.
The lobo's moan to the great unknown. Prairie serenade.
The tumbleweed song as I tumble along.
Prairie serenade.
And it paws on the brow. It's the north wind's hum.
The twilight hum when spring is young. Prairie serenade.
Adios.
Hey, ooh, dee, dee, ooh.
Riders Radio Theater will return following this loud message. Here's experienced cowpuncher Woody Paul.
Friends, if you push cattle for a living like I do, you might think every last cow is dumb as a post. Well, scientists now tell us that that ain't true. When you're herding cattle, trying to get them to go the right way, and they can't seem to figure it out, it ain't because they're dumb, they just can't hear you. Here's an expert in bovine audiosation.
Our studies indicate that many cattle suffer from bovine audio-deprived hearing, or bad hearing, as we call it. That's why we invented CowSpy.
Yep, CowSpy, a handy little amplification gizmo that enables any cow to listen to what you're saying. Here's an actual simulated demonstration. That cow right over there is more than 200 feet away. Hey, cow, come here. See? Nothing happens. Let's try it again with CowSpy. Hey, Too Slim.
Yo.
Put them earphones on that critter over there.
Okay, Woody.
Okay.
Ready.
Okay. Psst, cow, come here. Now, that's more like it. Easy, girl. Easy. Easy. Whoa. CowSpy will enable your whole herd to hear conversations they'd otherwise miss, plus boost their enjoyment of music. Many ranchers report their herds enjoy public radio, and Riders Radio Theater in particular. So order now, only $9.99 for CowSpy, which includes the earphones and the molded plastic receiver, which Velcros directly to their necks. Call 1-900-COWSPYS. That's 1-900-COWSPYS. It's a sound investment, right, cows?
And now we return to Riders Radio Theater.
Thank you, Texas Mix Bender. Guest time again on Riders Radio Theater, and we have somebody we've wanted here for a long, long time. Woody Paul, would you do the honors and introduce him?
I sure will, Ranger Doug, and it is an honor, because this fellow here has been a friend of mine and a friend of Riders in the Sky for many years. He's a fellow Grand Ole Opry member. Been playing on the Grand Ole Opry about 30 years, and he's had many, many hits down through the years, and he started out with a little Western group down in Texas. He hails from Texas and moved to Nashville when he started having those hits in country music. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please make welcome Mr. Billy Walker.
Thank you.
Chisholm Trail, it was midnight. Carmelo was strong on his mind. Because of the life he had chosen, Carmelo had left him behind. Too long he'd been El Bandito. Carmelo had left him alone. But today someone brought a message. She'd been seen in old San Antonio. Cross the Brazos at Waco, ride hard and I'll make it by dawn. Cross the Brazos at Waco, I'm safe when I reach San Antonio. He glanced back over his shoulder. The posse was nowhere in sight. It sent for Carmela to meet him on the banks of the Brazos tonight. She was waiting and he kept the promise he'd made such a long time ago. As he dropped the guns that she hated in the muddy Brazos below. Cross the Brazos at Waco, ride hard and I'll make it by dawn. Cross the Brazos at Waco, I'm safe when I reach San Antonio. Then the night came alive with gunfire. He knew that at last he'd been found. As the ranger's badge showed brightly, El Bandito lay on the ground. Carmela knew he was dying, that all of her dreams were in vain. As she kissed his lips for the last time, she heard him whisper again. Cross the Brazos at Waco, ride hard and I'll make it by dawn. Cross the Brazos at Waco, I'm safe when I reach San Antonio. Oh, I'm safe when I reach San Antonio.
Thank you.
Thank you, Billy.
Billy
Walker.
Really great, Billy. When was that song recorded, Billy?
Well, we came out with it in the mid-60s, Woody.
Oh, wow, and you've had so many down the line. Did you ever think about writing a book or something about your memoirs, Billy?
Well, I've written a book.
Really?
About your memoirs?
No, it's about my, not about my music career, it's about banking.
Really?
No.
Banking?
Yeah.
Wow.
Gosh.
Yeah, it's a guidebook for small banks to help them through difficult times.
Well, that's really? Just amazing. I would never have thought. That's great.
Wow.
Well, you know, that's why I came out here on the show to promote my book.
Is that
oh,
right?
Really?
So.
Huh.
It sure isn't the money.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Ladies and gentlemen, Billy
Walker.
Walker.
The Paul Petron. Billy Walker.
Riders Radio Theater is a mammoth radio pictures production in association with WBXU. This program is being taped live at the Xavier University Theater in the Queen City of the West, Cincinnati, Ohio. Stay with us, Saddle Pals. We'll be right back. Here's a little of the Woody Paul Western theme, number 4. Welcome back, Buckaroos and Buckarettes. You're listening to Riders Radio Theater. And now Riders Radio Theater presents the ongoing saga of the Cowboy Way. Tonight, episode 4 of the exciting Western melodrama, Trail of the Diamond Desperado. As faithful listeners will no doubt recall, Riders in the Sky, in an effort to save the First Rational Bank of Tumbleweed Valley, have gone to Washington, D.C. Their first stop was the office of their congressman, Norval Numnum. He then sent them to see Mr. Stance Fegley at the Office of Risk Administration, Technical Morons Division, Research Control Branch of the Federal Emergency Banking Administration, ORA, TMD, RCB, FEBA, to those in the know. Once there, Mr. Fegley informed them that their bank was too small and would have to mismanage many more millions of dollars before his agency could offer any assistance.
Oh no, is this the end of the First Rational Bank of Tumbleweed Valley?
Time to find out, Too Slim, as we now present episode 4 entitled Bank to the Wall.
So, there's nothing your agency can do for us, Mr. Fegley?
I'm afraid not.
Well, is there some other agency we could go to for help?
I very much doubt it. Look, gentlemen, I have a
Where?
Very... I meant that figuratively, of course.
Oh.
These small-town banks like you're trying to save are a thing of the past. This is the age of bigness. Big business, big banks, big government. We just don't have time to concern ourselves with a little backwater bank.
Mr. Fegley,
yeah.
I'm certain that you believe what you're saying, but we happen to believe differently. We believe that there is still room in this big country for a small bank, in a small valley to serve small businesses and small ranchers like ourselves and our friends. Yes, big is important, but in a democracy, small is important too. It's not the easy way, but
it's the cowboy way.
Oh, I can't argue with a pageant. I wish you luck. There's the exit access.
What?
the door. You must excuse me, but I have some very important unfinished business to deal with.
Well, goodbye, Mr. Vagley.
So long.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Gosh, people sure are busy here in Washington.
I guess so, Woody.
Gosh, what are we gonna do, Ranger Doug?
Slim, I don't know, but I don't have to know. I just have to follow this script, and it says we should get the horses, find a likely place to camp, and something will turn up.
Oh, great idea, Ranger Doug.
Thanks.
But once he's absolutely sure riders in the sky are gone, Stance vaguely puts down his golf club and picks up the telephone.
Hello, Mr. Wackefeller. This is Vagley. Yes, they just left. You're welcome, sir. Goodbye.
And so, as darkness falls on the Capitol, riders in the sky reclaim their horses, all of which have been ticketed for desolate parking, then mount up and look for a likely place to camp for the night. Eventually, they find a small, forgotten park just off Massachusetts Avenue near the Naval Observatory. There's a grassy lawn and a pool of clear water for the horses, and in no time, Side Meat has a pot of beans bubbling away over a cozy campfire.
Gosh, what's that over there in the bushes?
Well, Slim, that's the statue to the unknown vice president.
Oh. Hey, who is that?
I don't know. No one does. It looks new, though.
Gee, say, who's the vice president now?
Beats me.
Well, George Bush, ain't it?
No, he's president, Side Meat. Do you know who it is, Ranger Doug?
Gosh, no, Woody. I voted for Adrienne Barbeau.
Gee, she'd make a good vice president.
That's what I thought.
Speaking of thinking, I just remembered something.
What's that, Woody?
We're in Washington, D.C.
What a mind.
The home of Larry King.
Wow, that's right.
I'll turn on my Saddlehorn radio here and tune him in, boys.
Great idea, Woody. I wonder who his guest is tonight.
Boy, me too.
Okay, we're back. As I said, this is the Reverend Dr. B. Baxter Basil, LLD, PFT, and member National Geographic Society, guest hosting for Larry King tonight. Sit down, Chris Castleberry. Tonight, my guest is the author of a new book that's caused quite a sensation in financial circles around the world. It challenges the prevailing attitudes that bigger banks are better banks. But what I really find remarkable about my guest is that he's also a very successful country singer. He's a member of the Grand Ole Opry, a former roommate of Willie Nelson, and personally acquainted with my personal idol, the legendary border broadcaster Texas Spex Bender. My guest is Billy Walker. Welcome to our show, Billy.
Thank you, Doc. Thank you, Doc. Are
you glad to be here, Billy?
Yes, I'm glad to be here.
I thought so. Look,
yes,
let's talk for a moment about this bank book you've written.
All right.
By the way, I've read, and it moved me. I really mean that.
Well, if you think about it, there's a lot in common with country music and banks.
Is that right? Well, why? I need some help with that.
Well, for example, one thing you hear a lot about in country songs is pickup trucks.
I see. You go to the bank to finance one.
That's right, and obviously a lot of bankers drink.
Yes, they do, and a lot of country songs are what you call drinking songs.
Right again, and a lot of country songs are also called cheating songs.
I get the picture.
Well, when I realized all this, I started putting two and two together and came up with my book, All I Need to Know About Banking, I Learned in Kindergarten.
I see. Billy, let me ask you, because it's in my script. In this day and age, if a small mismanaged bank gets in trouble, who can it turn to?
Well, there aren't many places a small bank in trouble can go to, Doc.
Well, what about the Office of Risk Administration, Technical Moron Division of the Federal Emergency Banking Administration, or the ORATMD, RCBFEBA, as we in the know call it?
That's the last place you want to go, Doc.
Why's that?
Well, for starters, it's run by a moron named Stance Vagley.
I see. Well, where would you want to go?
Well, the only place to go is the Euro-Indo-Economic and Industrial Organization in Paris.
I see. That would be the EIEIO to those in the know.
Exactly, Doc. Exactly. That you hit the nail on the head. The chairman of the EIEIO is a fellow named O.D. MacDonald. And frankly, his organization is the last hope for mismanaged small banks in trouble.
Well, that's nice to know. I see by my script, however, that's all the time we have. The next 2 hours will be repeated in the late time zone on the Larry King Show tonight. This is the Reverend Dr. B. Baxter Basil saying thanks to Billy Walker. And I'll be back tomorrow night when my guest will be America's forgotten vice president. Do you know who he or she is? You'll find out tomorrow night on the Larry King Show. Good night, everybody. Sit down, Chris Castleberry.
Say, boys, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Yeah, the E-I-E-I-O.
As those in the know call it,
Mosh.
Somehow, we've got to get to Paris.
But how? We can't afford to fly.
Take a cruise ship.
There must be some way.
Oh, well, the beans is done. Let's have a plate of beans and a cup of joe. Maybe on a full belly, something will come to us.
Yeah, like indigestion.
Yeah, well, say.
How about, how about a cup of coffee to go with those beans, Sidney?
Oh, sure, Ranger Doug. I'll pour and you twist.
Okay.
Oh.
Thanks, Side. Say, Woody, I remember you doing some research once into the legend of the lost northern land bridge.
Yes, I sure did, Ranger Doug. It's an old Cleveland Indian legend. According to it, about 600 years ago, a mysterious Finnish insurance agent showed up on the shores of Lake Erie and started going dugout to dugout selling rained-out insurance. Well, since baseball hadn't been invented yet, they didn't have a ball club back then.
What do they now?
Well, anyway, after a few days, the mysterious Finn disappeared.
Gosh, what became of him, Woody?
Well, no one knows for sure, but according to the legend, he told the Indians that he had walked over from Europe, and they just assumed he went back where he came from.
Well, how could he have walked over?
On a land bridge.
A land bridge?
Yeah.
From America to Europe? Wow!
Now, do you think, Woody, there's any truth to that legend?
Well, of course not. It's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Well, maybe. But as part of my research into this legend, I did a feasibility study, and I believe there's a good possibility not only that there was a land bridge between Europe and America, but that it's still there.
Wow, and double wow!
Well, how could something like that have remained undiscovered all this time?
Well, for three reasons, Ranger Doug. To begin with, I believe it begins above the Arctic Circle on Baffin Island in Canada. That's well out of any shipping lanes and far from any towns or settlements. Second, I believe it's not one continuous trail, but rather a series of oceanic ridges that at a certain time of the year are joined together by ice. And third, I believe it runs 3 to 5 feet underwater, so it is never visible.
Wow.
Now, do you think you could find this northern land bridge and lead us across it?
Well, after a couple of hours of research in the Smithsonian Naval Library in the morning, I'm certain I could, Ranger Doug.
Oh, if it's there.
If it's there.
If it's there, it's our only hope. I'd say we try to find it.
I'm with you, Ranger Doug.
Me too.
Oh, and I better go along too, just to make sure y'all don't fall off the face of the earth.
Well, let's settle then. While you're at the Smithsonian in the morning, Woody, the rest of us will go to the Army-Navy surplus store and stock up on cold weather gear. There's going to be quite an adventure ahead of us, so I suggest we all turn in and get a good night's sleep.
Great idea, Ranger Doug. Good night, everybody.
Good night, boy.
Good night, folks.
Moments later, they're all asleep. But with a crack of dawn, they're all up and at 'em, and by noon Woody's research is done. They're all fully outfitted for their northern journey, and their odyssey to discover the legendary land bridge to Europe is well underway. Their route takes them up the East Coast and into Canada, then through Quebec Province and across Hudson Strait to Baffin Island, where they cross the Arctic Circle. Finally, in the early morning of the fifth day, they reach a frigid point of land that projects into Baffin Bay.
Whoa, boy, easy. Let's see, according to my calculations, the land bridge begins right over here, boys.
Well, according to my calculations, you're out of your mind.
We better get these thermal wetsuits on the horses.
Yeah, that water would send them into hypothermia in no time.
We need to put ours on too, boys. One false step and we'll be in that freezing water.
Whoa. Quickly, the riders put wetsuits on their horses and themselves and prepare to test Woody's startling theory that a land bridge, originally discovered by a Finnish insurance salesman, does in fact exist.
Okay, I've tied this rope around my waist. Slim, now you take the other end over there.
Got it!
I'm going to walk out a little ways and make sure the trail is here before we put the horses on it, boy.
Okay, but be careful,
Woody.
Be
careful,
Woody.
This water's freezing, boys.
Can you tell if the trail's under the water out there?
It seems to be, yes. It's here. It's only about 3 feet wide, so we'll have to go single file, boys, but it's definitely here.
Wow.
Okay, come on back and let's get started while we still have a full day of daylight left.
Okay.
Quickly, Woody returns to land and they all mount up. Seconds later, Ranger Doug, astride amazing turbo, steps off the edge of the earth and into the icy waters.
Get up.
Behind him come Woody and Too Slim on their ponies and Side Meat on his old mule Senator.
So far, so good.
Hey, Woodenhead, I just thought of something. Suppose we get halfway there and the trail runs out.
Gosh, old timer.
I didn't think about that.
Oh. Well, we'll just have to cross that bridge when we get there.
Oh, no. That could be the end of Riders in the Sky.
Could this be the end of Riders in the Sky? Will they run out of land bridge in the middle of the ocean? Where will they camp for the night? The answers to these and many more questions are to be found in Episode 5 of Trail of the Diamond Desperados, entitled Riders of the Sea. It's a voyage into the deep, dark waters of briny melodrama you won't want to miss, and it's coming only to this Theater of the Mind. Now here again are Riders of the Sea, Joey the Cowpoke King and Billy Walker.
When evening chores are over at our ranch house on the plains.
Sing us home, Billy.
All I have to do is lay around. I'll saddle up my pony and I'll ride off down the trail to watch the desert sun go down. Riding down the canyon to watch the sun go down. A picture that no artist ever could. White-faced cattle lowing on the mountainside. I hear a coyote whining for its mate. Cactus plants are blooming, sagebrush everywhere. Granite spires are standing all around. I'll tell you folks, it's heaven to be riding down the trail when the desert sun goes down.
The cast and guests of Riders Radio Theater bunk at the Quality Hotel Central in Norwood, Ohio. For more information on Riders in the Sky, Two Slims Perkinfield, or Riders in the Sky International Fan Club, write to Riders in the Sky, Post Office Box 277, Whites Creek, Tennessee 37189. Riders Radio Theater was conceived, written, directed, and performed by Riders in the Sky, along with yours truly, Texas Bix Bender. Our production foreman is Campfire Burt, sound effects wrangler Big Zeno Klinker. For the executive producer for WVXU is J.C. Doc King, producer Lasso and Larry Ashcraft, coordinating producer Chuck Wagonmaster Ingram, chief engineer Jamboree J. Crawford, recording director Gallopin' George Zahn, sound effects Hanjo, Winchester Jim Springville, and our stage manager, Solid L. Ron Esposito. This is Texas Big Spender saying so long, Saddle Pals. We'll see you next week on Riders Radio Theater.
I'll tell you folks, it's heaven to be riding down the trail when the desert sun goes down.
This is the VXU Radio Network.